Blog Talk Radio.
So let me ask you something.
Seven.
When you watching the game,
sight.
What do you see?
Media.
Yo, it started with the dream of balling the hoop. In between the lines, divide the lies from the truth. Analytics say you gotta play to the stats, but a Mac never play Mac, so why listen to that? The fact is, numbers are just an illusion, cause they don't tell the whole story, just a conclusion. This is the show that puts all the numbers to rest, cause it's not all about the stats, it's about the eye test.
Yo, check 1, 2, 1, 2. This is MVB.
And this is ISO.
And you are now in tune to the iTest NBA show,
where there's always a story behind the numbers.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Good to be back on the air, man. We got another good one for the people.
Oh, yes, we do. Yes, we do. You know, we went kind of back in time with a player in the Hall of Fame, entering the Hall of Fame, and one who's destined to be with Curry and Nash. And now we're looking at the future.
Yes, sir.
In the future now.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying?
We got some feedback, too, from those last few shows that we've been doing. And it was mandatory that we had to bring another brother on the wing to run the fast break with us, man. I was getting a lot of feedback from the people, man. We needed to get this man back on the stage. What's up, Truth? You here?
Yeah. Good night, yo. I'm coming through like Big Game James filling the lane. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
You know how Big James used to do it?
No doubt. One-hander.
I got one-hander. Got your liberty, son.
Bang.
Cranking it on you.
Bang.
Word.
Yeah, what's good, fellas? What's good? What's good?
Good to have you back on the line, man. Good get the trio back flowing again, man. As we said, you know, we had a few shows and got the feedback, man. The people wanted to hear you chime in on those different eye charts, Truth. So we wanted to make sure that we got you on the line today so that you could add on to this debate over the Rookie of the Year. I mean, he's actually one person that's been crowned already. But, you know, we have a unofficial crown in to do tonight.
I had to get on for this one.
That's what's up. For real,
man.
B.
So, fellas, let's jump into it, man. Is there anything that's pressing news wise that you want to get off your chest right now? If not, you know, we always have a little bit of time after. But if there's nothing that's pressing on the docket that you want to put out there right now, let's get into this chart, man.
I'll save it for after. I don't want to press Truth buttons right now early. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to get them all built.
Right. We got to remain focused, fellas. I know you got some fodder to throw on the fire, man. I know you're ready. So, like we were suggesting, let's jump into this chart, man. We got Donovan Mitchell, a.k.a. the Spider, versus Ben Simmons, the one them called Fresh Prince.
Yeah. Two great players, man.
What's your initial thoughts?
But for me, my initial thoughts is that we're looking at young D. Wade and young LeBron, possibly, with LeBron without the athleticism, with as much athleticism, but a little bit more height. You know, Spider's dangerous. He's already at a young age shown that, you know, that ability to shine in the early moments, just like a young D. Wade did. And,
right.
You know, with Ben Simmons, you know, he's an all-around genius, you know, as far as what he can do with the basketball. His passing is on the level of a LeBron. It's crazy, man. It's crazy. What's your thoughts on it, True?
Well, I definitely see some D. Wade and Donovan Mitchell. And then, you know, I always question, you know, was LeBron 17 or was he 23 when he joined the league? And that's, so I like the analogy with Ben Simmons because he won't no damn rookie. So I'm telling you, before we even get to the chart, I'm taking points off for the red shirt. All right, taking points off. But on the surface, you know, I think it's going to be a great chart. It's going to be a great chart. And I just go back to set the stage for when Utah lost Hayward. When he walked away, they didn't get nothing for him. He just went to Boston. Everybody wrote off the Jazz. Feel me? Because the big man is really – Gobert is just a he's presence on the defensive end. Right? So so, you know, everyone wrote them off. Nobody had the Jazz making no playoffs. So, man, I can't wait to get it popping because, you know, we've seen – I like the D-Wade analogy because, yeah, just like D-Wade, you know, when he joined the Heat, you know, they had Odom, they had some cats, but they wasn't making no noise. You know, he served notice in that first playoff series with a couple game winners. And that was the birth of D. Wade. And then Mitchell really had a better rookie season than D. Wade, you know. So we could get into it, chop it up, but I love it for the chart. I love it for the chart.
One thing I want to bring up, an interesting point that you made, Truth, and I want your take on this, MVB. How do you feel about this red shirt freshman's winning MVP awards?
I was going to try to figure out where we could fit it in the chart because it's definitely part of the equation. You know, it can't be overlooked, and I didn't identify a spot yet. So yeah, let's get it out the way now. I think that Philly has found a loophole in the rules, and they have exploited it to their benefit. It takes away from, in some ways, you know, the natural maturation of players, and you've seen their growth and you've seen their development, especially in those first 2 years or so, 2-3 years, depending on who you're talking about, and how beneficial it is for them to actually be on the court from our previous understanding, to be on the court to get that game time experience. But I think that Philly has cracked the lock that, you know, no other team in the league has really seen the opportunity to do with letting these guys sit out. And it is, you know, in some ways it is cheating because they're getting their full advantage of being on the roster, getting in the weight room and being with the guys, all of those things, practice, et cetera. But like I said, man, they found a loophole. They knew how to work the system. Like, just the same way that they were able to freaking tank and come up with all of these players. You know, they had some guys that looked at the form, the atmosphere a little bit differently, and they freaked it, man. I don't like it personally, but, yo, I can't knock them. Can't knock them.
My take on it, where I feel the biggest advantage that Ben Simmons has over Donovan Mitchell as far as redshirting is more the impact on the court is really off the court, is that you're able to balance your outside life, because so many times it's your outside life that affects your on court play. So being able to lock down a home, being able to get your finances in order, stuff, because you're not really able to set yourself in stone like that because you're playing. So if you're on the road, sometimes you'd hear that how some rookies haven't found the house and it's already middle of the season and they're living out of a hotel. So I think the fact of the structure that it sets for your stability outside the court enables you to focus on basketball better. And that, to me, is the key advantage, because they don't have to deal with the playing and dealing with outside commitments, dealing with is my family going to be all right? How's everything? How's my structure at home? No, you're not playing. You're sitting there. You got your crib. You have your whole setup, and you get a routine developed so that once you start to begin to play, now everything becomes clockwork, and you can see the difference. For real.
I agree with you on that.
Word.
I think another big factor is the nutrition, right? So they're not just on the Sixers roster. They're eating, they're getting dietary benefits, they're weightlifting, right? You're adjusting, you're going from 1 year college, some college, right? And now you are a professional. You're training with professionals. You're shooting. You're getting professional guidance in terms of working on your game and just the nutrition and the weightlifting and just adjusting, right? It's a big difference from when you have to play. That's the whole thing of being a rookie. It's like, you know, like you look at Lonzo Ball physically, right? Just look at him as a rookie playing, you know, as a real rookie compared to what he's going to look like this year, because I already seen the work he was putting in before he hurt the knee. But you're just going to see a big difference just from the physicality standpoint of the game, right? And that's like the biggest benefit you get. That's why you're not a rookie, right? You've been eating, you've been flying on those NBA planes, those charter planes. You're adjusting to how your body feels, you know, when you get off that cross country flight going out to LA from Philly, you know, where Mitchell didn't get that. He had to, you know, he had to play and adjust to that. And that's just a big benefit, man. When David Robinson was Rookie of the Year, he was at the Naval Academy for 2 years, though. He wasn't on the Spurs roster. He wasn't traveling with the team and lifting weights. He was lifting weights, but it wasn't with the Spurs. You know what I'm saying? He was lifting them Navy weights, right, because he had them guns. He came in with that NBA body, but, you know, that was the first person I saw that wasn't a real rookie but came in and was a rookie, and you didn't second-guess it because it wasn't like, you know, because we know Ben Simmons could have come back, like, after the All-Star break last year. That's the biggest thing problem I got with Philly. Like, Embiid was really hurt, and there's no way you was playing Embiid with a hurt foot as a big man, right? So I get it. Embiid, it just happened, and I think he sat out 2 years, right? So,
exactly.
But Ben Simmons could have played last season. There's no doubt about it. He could have played his rookie year, you know?
Didn't Larry Bird get drafted too? Didn't Larry Bird get drafted and then didn't immediately report?
That was college. No, that was his college, right? So he started with Knight at Indiana, and then he walked off the team. And then he lost a year of eligibility. So he actually played his fifth year of eligibility with the Sycamores. But, again, different story. That wasn't with Knight. He was a five-year rookie, though, five-year college dude. He was
absolutely
a grown man when he came in the league. He was a lot older than Magic, right? But again, you know, those were different circumstances. You know, his dad had committed suicide, Larry Bird, and, you know, it was hard on the family, and he didn't like Knight's style. You know, but that's at the college level.
Right.
So come on,
right.
You know, I just think it's a different. I don't like the way Philly, because you said it, they found a loophole, and they've been working it because their rookie this year is going to sit out.
Exactly. And Markel sat out last year.
And Markel should have sat out. He played five games.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's where I'm at with it. I think, you know, if it's a tiebreaker, that's going to be the tiebreaker.
Mm. so
no red shirt.
So we have an asterisk out there.
Yeah. Just real quick, man, do the research too, man. NBA draft, Larry Bird was drafted in 78. He was round one, sixth pick. He started playing in 79. That's a conversation for another time. We'll talk about that, though. That was that was Red Auerbach, G in the system back then. But yeah, we'll come back to that, man. Let us not digress. Yeah, let's jump into it, man. That was excellent setting up the stage. I think that as we've seen, we all have different kind of views on it. I can't wait to hear what is going to come out in this argument, in these conversations, as we pull up the chart. All right, so let's jump into this first category topic on the chart, which is analytics. All right. So in terms of analytics, man, real quick, points per game, Donovan Mitchell averaged 20.5 versus Ben Simmons 15.8. Rebounds per game, Donovan Mitchell averaged 3.7 versus 8.1 for Ben Simmons. And assists per game, Donovan Mitchell averaged 3.7 versus 8.2 for Ben Simmons. Steals were very close and so were blocks. So, you know, it's kind of a wash on those, 1.5 versus 1.7. And they both played in the league only 1 year, as we've already discussed, due to the red shirting that Philly has pulled. Both of them have played in one playoff, had 1 year under their belt in the playoffs. And In terms of awards, we have Ben Simmons winning the Rookie of the Year just past year. So this is one of the best matchups in terms of young guys, because it's just about even. You know, they only have a certain amount of time, that 1 year, and they're very comparable. So for analytics, personally, myself, I gave it to the Fresh Prince. I gave it to Ben because of his ability to rack up those rebounds and also those assists. That's just about doubling Donovan Mitchell's rebounds and assists, even though Mitchell averaged 5 more points than he did.
Analytic-wise, I would probably have to agree with you, just because to me, it's not, you know, the deciding factor is the assist number to me. You know, it's not because you could make it a wash. Points and rebounds, they cancel each other out. You know, Donovan has five more points, and Ben Simmons has 5 more rebounds. But the assist disparity, you know what I'm saying? I think right there at the end of the day, that's what, you know, slightly edges out Donovan Mitchell for me. Like, I mean, edges out Ben Simmons to win it over Donovan Mitchell, just because, you know, at his height, we averaging more assists. And it's not to say that, because we understand that, you know, earlier in the season, that wasn't his responsibility. And he, you know, he grew into doing that the second half of the season. But for the totality of the season, you got to give it to Ben Simmons. Truth.
Let me clear my throat. All right. So y'all missed. I noticed that MVB left out some key on the analytics side. Right, 3-point percentage.
Yes, thank you.
34% to zero.
Zero.
Let me repeat that. 0%.
Yes.
Okay. Zero.
Yes.
Then let's look at free throw percentage. 80.5% to 56%. This is a point guard. This is your point guard. Got the ball in his hand at the end of games, right? You know, 56% compared to 80. And then turnovers, I'm not going to penalize him because he does have the assists, right? So he stole eight assists to 3 assists, I mean the 3 turnovers, where Mitchell handles the ball a little better, but he's a scorer. So we got to look at these numbers in the different roles. Donovan Mitchell, his role, he's the man. He's the scorer. They're relying on him. He's shooting. He's a shooting guard, shooting 44% from the field, 35% from three, giving you leading the team in scoring at 20.5 points per game, right? He's durable at the two guard as a true rookie, played in 79 games versus 81. But then he's competing in the Western Conference, fellas. Think of his competition in ISO. That's always your go-to, the level of competition in the West. My goodness.
That's another category, God.
That's what I'm saying, God.
That's another category, God.
No, it's not. It figures into
bleeding
analytics.
Bleeding in like you, ISO. Bleeding in like you.
But hold up now. It does factor into analytics. So that's my point. So what I'm speaking to is you can't say, oh, I'm going to give it to Ben because he got 8 assists and 8 rebounds. No, that's not Mitchell's role. Is he not leading his team in scoring, right? He's 80% at the line, so he's reliable in the fourth quarter. And the Jazz made the playoffs in the Western Conference. So when I look at that in its totality, and it's close, and you might even say, man, Ben flirted with a triple-double every night. I'm going to give the edge to him, but it wasn't as cut and dry as you guys painted it. And again, I'm going to go to the fact of what are their roles, because we didn't talk about the safety blanket Embiid provided for Ben Simmons and those numbers. Mitchell has a defensive-minded big man that's an all-star level as well, but he doesn't give you that on offense. He's just catching lobs, getting putbacks. Mitchell, his usage rate as a rookie is only Ben Gordon as a rookie had more usage rate than Donovan Mitchell, man. And for that reason and everything else, what is the role, right? What is the role? I got to give the edge to my man Donovan Mitchell, man. His usage rate was 0.29 compared to Ben Gordon, again, was the only rookie with more. On teams with a winning record. So, Allen Iverson, you ain't in this. Winning records. So, rookies, that's high usage rate, meaning the team is dependent on you. My man Carmelo Anthony on this list, by the way, was number 8 on that list, just to give you a reference. All right? So, we talking analytics, we talking numbers. Truth be told, I got to speak the truth. Donovan Mitchell edges him out.
All right, thank you for bringing up
this is Fugazi.
Thank you for bringing up the 3-point percentage, because that was one number that I was going to bring up a little bit later. Because as you know, we have multiple categories. that's a big number though. Zeros on the board for 3-point percentage. That really sticks out. But in terms of the free throw, I hear where you're coming from, the fact that he's a scorer and that's his role. But even with that, I would think that you would have a little bit more assist than only coming up to 4. Kobe's a scorer, and not to say, comparing him to the Mamba, but we want to get like that 5, at least 6 assists if you got the ball and you have that usage rate just as much. So that's just my little feedback on that. ISO, you got anything to say on that piece?
Like, Who are you passing to, though?
Quick question. Who are you passing to? Who getting them assists?
Ricky Rubio.
he ain't got Saric and Covington and
got some
Bellinelli and all them cats to shoot, man. He ain't got all them that help.
I mean, you bring up valid points. I didn't want to make it seem like Ben Simmons' numbers were that much better than Donovan's, because there's not. It's just, to me, like I said, as far as when you come to, like, the meat and potatoes, we understand Donovan is a better shooter, better free throw shooter. But when it just came over to the meat and potato stats, points, rebounds, assists, and steals, I just felt like what MVB said, that he should just have, because it's not like he couldn't, And I think that once Rubio was out, you saw that he brought his assist numbers high. So the I expect his numbers to be way higher this year than 3.74.
But you just said it, brother. You just said it, though. Why are you going to expect his numbers? His scoring average is going to increase this year. That I can guarantee you.
After what he did
in them playoffs. But his assist is not going to. No, because that's Rubio's role. Again, it's a different role on different teams. You got to put that into context when you're looking at analytics. He's not asked to be a playmaker. He could do it, and he showed you he could do it. You just said it, and I agree with you. He did it when Rubio was hurt in the playoffs, and he did it on the big stage in the playoffs. He could do it. Right. His assist, he was getting double digits assists. His role, though, Rubio is a pure point guard. That's Rubio's role on that team, is to set everyone up.
Donovan,
his W-2 say, score the ball. This is like throwback. He's a shooting guard. That's what he does. He's going to give you the business night in and night out. I'm telling you, that scoring average going to like 24 to 25 points this year. Watch what I tell you.
I feel you.
I'm interested. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I'm looking at, as we made the comparison, I'm looking at Wade. Wade averaged 4.5 assists in his rookie year, right? And Donovan Mitchell was under that. He was 3.7. So, I mean, you know, it might be shaving hairs, but it's a similar type of game and also the expectation. Because Wade came out scoring
as
well.
What was the scoring average?
He averaged 16. It was 16. Come on, that's nothing to sneeze at. It's right behind him.
It ain't 20. That's 4 points in the NBA. Yeah. Come on now.
What? That's four free throws. That's four free throws, man.
No. That ain't four free throws over 82 games. Now you know that now, Cobes. Come on now.
Four points is not a huge difference in scoring average.
It's not as big of a difference to
be able to make me change my argument. So at this point, let's take these numbers up. We got two against one. Are you folding at all, Ice, or are you switching your argument?
Nah, I mean he made a wonderful case. He made a wonderful case
sure
for Donovan Mitchell, but to me it was just like 8-4, and you're a way better ball handler than Ben Simmons is. And a scorer, so you should be able to free up your teammates more.
That's what I'm thinking this year,
but this is last year, so I got to give it to Ben.
All right, so right now we got the Fresh Prince ahead by one. Let's jump into our next category, which is something that Truth alluded to, competition.
And the way we competed, and our desire and sweat and the trash talking and all the beautiful things about the game of basketball was illustrated in that one particular game.
All right. So who you got for competition?
I got Donovan Mitchell. Truth alluded to it earlier. What he was able to do at his position, the kind of guards that he has to face in night in, night out in the West Coast, you're facing Clay, you're facing Harden, you're facing all these great guards, you're going up against Russ, you're doing all this stuff in the West. It's hands down because, you know, Ben Simmons, not to take nothing from away from the East, but what he has to face in night in and night basis, night in and night out basis is totally is eggs and oranges and apples, whatever. As Donovan mentioned, it's not even a comparison.
Mm-hmm.
Not even a comparison.
Truth, you have anything to add on to that?
Yeah, we keep this one short. Mitchell, Western Conference. He going up
and
against an MVP candidate twice every week.
That's exactly what I have in my notes. Spider, Western Conference. That's it. There's nothing else to say. ISO, you've alluded to it very clearly and in detail in terms of who he was coming up against. And then I'm going to throw on top of that, the big run that the Sixers had or made after the All-Star break when they went on that streak, they were playing a bunch of bums. And that really elevated his stature going into the end of the year awards, getting it going into the rookie of year awards and all of those things. And really elevated him and made people look at the Sixers as a real contender. But to me, and we said it, I said it back then, it was empty numbers, man, because they were playing against bums. So we're all on the same accord in terms of competition going to Spider Mitchell.
No question.
Yeah, man. So that's one up so far. Let's jump into our next category. Next category up is Create Your Shot. What a move. Truth, you're gonna set this category off, man. Who you got for Create Your Shot?
you gotta have a shot to create a damn shot. I guess I'm gonna give Ben credit for creating a shot for other people. But hey, look, man, I seen Westbrook on skates trying to stay in front of Mitchell. You know Russ is my man, but look, Mitchell's no chump, man. He showed us big time what he's about. He is a big time player. He served notice. There's no question. We've seen him deliver in the clutch in the playoffs. I seen in the playoffs Ben get exposed. Team sagged off him. He refused to shoot. I mean, just refused to shoot the ball. I'm either dunking or I'm passing. And we just know that's how you get a donut in a playoff game, you know, or 1 point or whatever the hell it was he had when Tatum took him to school. It's Mitchell, hands down. This is another easy one for me. I'll give Ben credit because he is a talented passer. He has great vision. He can, he can get an easy shot, create a shot for somebody else, but it ain't for his broke jumper. So with that said, Spider-Man. Mm. The Spider.
All right, so on my side, I chose Spider as well. I'm not going to front on Ben as much. He does create a shot to the hole, right? So he can drive to the hole. But other than that, the option, right, the head down shot, the options are very limited. So Spider is able to pull up, has the mid-range, hit the three, and go to the hole. So I definitely chose Donovan Mitchell for this one as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's self-explanatory, create your own shot. Even if Donovan Mitchell and Ben Simmons had the same exact level of jump shot, Donovan Mitchell's ability to get to the hole and how the kind of shots that he can create around the hoop are still better than Ben Simmons. So, I mean, at the end of the day, it's not even worth analyzing. That was a straight layup.
Yo, that's two in a row for the Spider. Let's see.
Fatix.
Yeah.
Three on my chart. But, count.
All right. Let's jump into our next category, which is Lockdown D. All right. So for Lockdown D, I chose Ben Simmons on this one. His size, his length, his strength and ability, he has the potential to be a much better defender than he is now. At this point, he's not bad. He has a better defensive win share than Donovan Mitchell. But once again, it's not necessarily what Mitchell is out there to do. But Ben, because of his size and his versatility on defense, I chose Ben Simmons.
Go ahead, Truth. I'll let you go.
Yeah, I mean, I just, 6'10", man, versus 6'3". 6'10 right. is going to be more imposing defensively, and his rebounds, right? And the last piece to a defensive stand is the damn rebound. So I got to factor that in. So, yeah, just really off size. Again, what I would give Mitchell credit for is he's going head up with Harden, you know, Westbrook. I mean, his week is just, like, insane from a competitive standpoint, where it's hard to say defensive wins here when you check in 30-point scorers three out of four games that week, you know? So it's hard to say, but I will say this is an easy one for Ben at this point. And it has a lot to do with his size, you know, his size and his ability to rebound the basketball.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I wouldn't say that Ben Simmons is a lockdown defender. I mean, I consider Donovan Mitchell a good defender, good on the ball defender. But like you said, it has more to do with his size and the fact that he, you know, like you said, at the end of the day, rebounds is a part of defense and stuff like that. So, but you know, I just give it to him just because he has a little bit more rebounds. But I don't really consider Ben Simmons a lockdown defender at all, because he doesn't really play that on the ball defense to me as compared to Donovan Mitchell. But you know, he can get more blocks, he can do more things, versatile defensively, so I don't mind giving it to him, no doubt.
That's right, good point. I preface my argument by saying more of the potential, right? And that's a sneaky word in some NBA circles, but I think that has to be included. I definitely don't agree that he is a lockdown defender at this point, but he has the ability to be, I think, with his versatility and his size, as we speak.
Mm.
All right. So right now it's 2-2. It's 2-2. Let's jump into our next category, and the next category is versatility.
Probably the most versatile, most dominant player in the game today. Can do it on both sides of the ball, can be a point guard, can post up now, can shoot from the perimeter. Really just in terms of versatility and being able to have an effect on the game in many different ways.
Respect to Hall of Famer.
You done know.
Well, it's kind of hard. It's kind of hard because at first, You'd easily say, you know what I'm saying, you could easily say, hey, you know what I'm saying, Ben Simmons. But I'm really thinking about what I'm thinking about with last year, with the transition that Donovan Mitchell made from being the primary two guard position to shooting to entering the playoffs and being able to switch and get everybody involved. That was really impressive to me. And at the end of the day, just because of this dude's size, man. This dude really that's what it is. It's his size, being able to play the power forward, small forward, or two guard, play the point. You can't play the two guard, but you can play the point. You can play power forward, maybe even sometimes center. I got to give it to Ben Simmons, man. I got to give it to Ben Simmons.
Truth.
I thought he was going down the right road when he started, Mr. ISO. Because you said it. You said it yourself, man. We've seen, for one, Donovan Mitchell, right, coming into the league, boom. He didn't expect that, oh, you're going to be the man. that started just from summer league. They were like, damn, maybe we got the steal of the draft here. They didn't know. And then for him to turn out to be this reliable franchise player and take his game to that next level, I remember him coming into the All-Star game just wanting to make a name for himself. You know what I'm saying? He came out there, right? Didn't he win the slam dunk? He won that shit, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He won, you know, and I just seen his game continue to elevate and elevate. And then in the playoffs where, you know, he switched up. When Rubio went down, man, he was struggling too, the way they was defending him. But when he started showing his versatility, like, yeah, I could play point too. I could create. You start getting them nine assists, eight assists, 10 assist games in the playoffs, then it even – open him up even more, and then he could get to the cup at any point that he wanted to. I just seen his game, you know, just evolve. But I will say, because of the stat that MVP discredits now, which is the versatility stat, I can't vote again. What we call it, the Westbrook? Don't we call it the Westbrook stat now? Yeah,
we could call it that.
Triple doubles. Because of the Westbrook stat, which is the versatility stat, I'm going to give the nod to Ben.
Okay. All right. So along with everything that you guys said, I'm going to give it to the Fresh Prince as well, primarily because everything that Donovan Mitchell does is on the scoring side of the ball, right? We already talked about his need to be able to distribute a little bit more. You just mentioned, Truth, that he did step it up when Rubio went out, but it wasn't an all-around consistent part of his game, right? Thank you. Yes, I appreciate you doing that during the playoffs, but I just see Ben being able to do much more. The defense we talked about, and especially the rebounds as well, aside from him being a 6'10". You mentioned earlier, Truth, that, you know, size comes into play with lockdown D. And I think that you can have a lockdown defender that's 6'3", but, you know, when it comes to this category, which is versatility, being able to be 6'10 allows you to play multiple positions, as ISO had already laid out. So,
Okay, can I ask you then, who outplayed who head-to-head Westbrook and Mitchell in that playoff series? That's my point. So when you say, oh, everything we talked about is scoring, not true. But sometimes your offense, you know, you Westbrook draw two fouls early on you, it affects his game. So sometimes your offense could be your defense, depending on your mentality. And what we've seen is his mentality is I can score from anywhere, I'm not scared, I'm coming back at you, and oh yeah, I'm staying in front of you too. And we saw Westbrook pressing. We saw Westbrook pressing, kind of a little out of character. I ain't never seen him do that with Steph, but I seen him do it with Donovan Mitchell. So he got some dog in him on defense. James Harden.
Okay. Let me just correct you real quick, because he was stressing because of the Rubio comments. When he tried to shit on Rick Rubio and Rubio came out and he played their game and they dug in Westbrook's ass and exposed him, that's why he went off of the rail and off the rocker. I don't think Donovan Mitchell was the only one responsible for that. It was Rick Rubio that was in his head.
When you're losing the game, when you're losing to a team that you feel like, man, this is a rookie. A rookie is the man on this squad. That's why Westbrook was pressing. You think Westbrook was pressing because he was saying he don't care what Rubio do? He really didn't give a shit what Rubio did. But what Mitchell was doing in that fourth quarter is why they was losing. Mitchell was not closing them games.
I recall that Mitchell was busting their butt and yapping so much that them dudes was intentionally trying to hurt homie. I remember.
I'm saying Russ lost his head because he was talking shit about Rubio And then the team came and and the team came and they had him flustered. He was flustered.
You flustered, man. Talking ain't gonna fluster Russell Westbrook, dog. What's gonna fluster him is losing. When you lose, and why he was losing was Donovan Mitchell was coming. They had no answer for him. None. They had no answer. That's what frustrates a player like Westbrook. Talking? You think yapping is what had Westbrook in his feelings? Nah, man.
No,
Westbrook was the one. Huh?
Westbrook was the one that was yapping, and his comments got to the media, and the team took offense to it or whatever, and they had Rubio's back, and he came out, and he cracked that ass that next game. That's what I recall. The game that you're talking about when he was flustered.
Well, they lost the series. He was flustered in them four L's is what me and Iso telling you, and he was flustered because he was like, damn, this rookie for real. Because you better believe in Russell Westbrook's mind, he was two-time MVP. Like, he was like, I took the first half of the year to set these other cats up, see what they were going to do. I still average a triple-double. I'm the MVP. In Russell's mind, he ain't backing down to nobody on that court. So I don't buy into, the words. No. He couldn't believe, I can't beat this rookie-led Jazz team. That's what had Westbrook in his feelings. I might be wrong, but that's the way I saw it. And that's why I'm giving Mitchell his credit. Because you can also put a great player on their heels by your offensive play as well. That's good defense too. Like, nah, I'm coming at your throat. You don't intimidate me. And that's what Mitchell brings to the game that I don't see from Ben.
I agree.
But that's my two cents.
Okay, no doubt. That's why opinions make the world go around. So we got Fresh Prince for that last one as well on versatility. Let's go to our next category, which is going to be another short and sweet one. Hit the jumper.
He shot with the left hand, and it was all net every single time. And then he would do it one more time, all net with the left hand.
Woo! Woo! All net with the left hand.
Like,
damn,
let me tell you something. This topic is short, but just to hear Magic's voice is worth it. Just to hear Magic's voice.
Doesn't he paint the picture so well?
Son, that shit was just word.
Yeah.
That's pretty old.
Man.
This is 3-0. Let me just say this
right quick. You stole the steam earlier, truth be told, by mentioning that 000 number, son, on the 3-point shot. It's like, come on, son. What the? I couldn't believe it. I saw the 0. Dope, 0. For real? Come on.
Talking about Lonzo.
Come on. Right. Thank you. Talk about Lonzo.
At least Lonzo 27%. You know, at least Lonzo 27%, but he's shooting it, you know?
I was going to say, he'll shoot it when he got an eye, right? When he got a little clear space, he'll put it up. This guy is not even taking it.
We all know in the NBA, man, this is not street ball. When you have an open shot, like, the team needs you to take that jump shot because it just balances, it makes the defense play, and you can get offensive rebounds, right? It just keeps the flow. You can't be passing up wide open 15 footers, man.
Especially today's NBA. You probably could have got away with it in the 80s. You could have got away with it in the 80s and, you know what I'm saying, a little bit of the 90s. But, my man, in today's NBA, oh, man, don't even think about getting a major playing time like that in the playoffs if you ain't hitting that jumper. Cause, and we remember Ben Simmons sitting down a couple of fourth quarters because that
right.
Jimmy wasn't right.
Right, because he wouldn't take it.
Go ahead.
It was shy, too.
Yeah, don't
you know
go
what's
ahead.
Even,
Don't go ahead, ISO. Don't go ahead on the chart. <back. laughs>
But you know what's crazy though? What's even worse is that the videos that I'm seeing coming out with him working out with Ben Simmons, working out with LeBron, or working out in just regular open play, he's not taking them jumpers. He's going to the hole, doing reverse dunks, doing shit that you're not going to really be able to do in the game because this is a pickup game. You should be working out, shooting that shot, even if you're missing it right now, even if it's bricking, even if it's airballing, don't matter. Put it up, put the work in so that the fruits of your labor will be able to pay you back in the future. Right now, I don't see any of that, man. And that's the sad part for me.
I remember my high school coach. He coached Tim Duncan, too, by the way. But my high school coach, when we practiced, he was like, yo, no layups. Like, you couldn't shoot in the paint in practice. Like, you had to at least take a mid-range shot. That was like, or, you know, we do stuff like, you know, you have to shoot with, if you're shooting layups, it's got to be with the offhand. Like, we had certain, you know, things that, so you're not practicing your go-to things you know that naturally you can do in the game. He wanted you to take game shots. You feel me? And I mean, yeah, I've seen the videos. Yeah, it's like dunk line dunks he's getting in these pickup games.
Right.
Like, dude, that's the time to shoot this broke jumper you got. And I've seen a video, and I think he hit like two. But the form was so ugly, it's just like, please, man, you ain't hitting that.
To say broke means that at one time it was fixed. I can't even say broke. Word up. I don't even know. My man got a Neanderthal jumper.
We spent too much time on this topic, fellas. Too much time. This was a quick one.
You serious? You right about that, bro. You're right about that. All right, so that's another one there for the spider. All right, so right now we are 1, 2, 3 up. Tied three up. Okay. All right, so let's jump into the next category on the chart, which is mental toughness.
Mental toughness really is it's all about not getting too high or getting too low, but just kind of staying pretty even keel. I mean, that's kind of the trick to it is not to get too emotionally attached to the situation.
All right, Aisha, who you got on this?
I mean,
was
come on, it's easy.
Mentality?
Yes, sir.
You're done, though. Done, though.
Yeah, I mean, this is really easy because you know, this guy has accepted. One talks about being the man, and the other one is the man. And he embodies what I love about Donovan Mitchell is the embodiment of wanting to be a superstar. You know, like in this day and age, you know what I'm saying, quote unquote, like truth be told, say whole ball era, in this day and age, dudes don't want to be the franchise no more. Dudes want to be a part of a team. And the fact of being that old school Donovan Mitchell is an old school superstar. True and true. An old school, put you on my back and let's see how far I can take you. That's as old school as you can get when it comes to a superstar. And, you know, when I've seen him get knocked down, he get back up, he get up in your face. There's nothing cupcake, soft, Twinkie, cake, ice cream. There's nothing sweet about this dude right here. It's easy. Donovan Mitchell.
True. Back in Jamaica, them call him Donovan. Yeah, man, it's Mitchell, man. I can't tell you how much I respect him for, man, what he did in that OKC series, man, leading that team. You know, I just remember, man, I can't remember Utah being that loud, even in the Stockton and Malone days. Yo, that's how insane the crowd was when they won that series, man. I just, it, it's yo, you're not shooting no jumpers? That right there tells me that's, you know, that's no mental toughness. You know, I would shoot them bricks. I would take them shots till I figure it out, you know. And, you know, I go down shooting, man. I don't like seeing that in Ben. The other thing with Ben is that was some of the questions I had when I seen him in LSU, and he couldn't make the tournament in LSU.
Right.
That's some of the right residual effect you're seeing. And now you come to the league, you shoot two threes the entire season? Two? Come on, man. it's yeah, man. This is Spider, man. Spider all day. Give me Spider.
Definite. I spoke to him stepping in. We spoke about it before and what he did in the playoffs going against some of these greater teams, especially already laid out what he did with Russ. But then stepping up also when Rubio went out, you know, and being able to hold it down in the West, yo. That is the three-peat across the board, man. Spider got that one for mental toughness as well. All right. So we got one up right now. Let's jump into our next category, which is leadership.
When you're able to come through on your word, it allows the guys that you're leading, male or female, to be able to say, okay, we can follow this person because he won't let us down.
Yeah, man. For this one, I chose the Spider once again. The fact that he was a rookie, able to lead his team to fifth place in the hard-ass West. We always talk about how much better the West is over the East, and the impact that he had in the playoffs and throughout the year. Also stepping up, as I mentioned, when Rubio went out, man. I got Mitchell for this one. Who you got, ISO?
Mitchell.
Yeah, I got Mitchell too. I got Mitchell too. One thing I will say though, on Ben Simmons' behalf, you can make a case that as great as Embiid is, he is actually stunting Ben Simmons' growth as far as the kind of levels he can be being forced to reach. I think that Embiid is Simmons' crutch as far as what he could probably do. Because when you saw him, even though we understand that he's beating up on some bad teams, but I think the fact of Embiid being there is one of the reasons why he doesn't take more of a leadership role, because Embiid is the man. There's no question if, ands, or buts about it. And I think that having Embiid there is like is almost a Kobe aspiring, you know, Kobe, not saying that Ben Simmons is on that level, but I'm just trying to make a comparison of a dude that is the man and another dude who has these otherworldly skills that can be the man, but he'll never reach his full potential until he's away from Embiid. That's what, you know what I'm saying. But yeah, it's Donovan Mitchell, no question.
Yeah,
yes.
I alluded to this when we started. You know, that is a security blanket that Ben has. You take Embiid, because if you look at the game, right? You look at Philly play. Embiid gets his off the bounce. He don't Simmons like don't make Embiid better. He don't.
Right.
Embiid is
right.
Embiid.
Right. Right.
Embiid back to the you know
does all of that on his
bounce,
own. Yep.
On his own, my dude. So he's not helping Embiid. Embiid is taking so much off of Ben Simmons. You take Embiid out, you got to remember, you touched on it, MVB. He went on that 14-winning streak. They played nobody.
Right.
Like, all those teams were non-playoff teams. But look, when Ben Simmons was sitting out them back-to-back, they lost, like, their first 10 games without Embiid. When Embiid was sitting out, the first, like, 10 games he sat, because you know how they wasn't letting them do back-to-backs, and they'd give them rest here and there, and
right.
they took their time. They were like 0-10. his rookie year, they would not have made the playoffs. You take Embiid out that picture, man. This is Mitchell, and it's hands down Mitchell. And these are some of the reasons why I was so adamant that Mitchell was the rookie of the year. But that's neither
right.
here nor there.
We're going to decide that by the end of these last two categories.
Mm-hmm.
And jump into the next to last category. You know, when it comes down to our top three, these hold the most weight from leadership. And our next category is clutch gene.
Plenty of time to get a shot. 3 seconds. Plenty of time. Oh!
Yes. Who you got for clutch gene, Truth?
Hey, back off Ben. Pack the lane and make him shoot that jump. I mean, look, I can't keep beating the dead horse, man. You know, OKC, defending MVP. I seen Mitchell make some incredible shots down the stretch. You know, double-digit fourth-quarter score in his first playoff series. It's Mitchell, man. It's Mitchell. I seen Ben go, you know, struggle. I seen him really look bad in that Boston series. So, I mean, I'm not shitting on Ben. Ben Simmons is a talent, and, you know, if he puts the work in, he could be an all-time great. Because, gosh, man, you can't coach size, 6'10". The ball handling and the vision the guy has, he is mm-hmm. awesome, right? But, man, he's got so much room to grow. And I just think that Mitchell right now, man, I don't see a flaw in the cat game, man. He's the real deal, and I'm giving him the rock with the game on the line. Yeah, clear out, give it to Mitchell. I can't do that with Ben right now. Yep.
I totally agree. We spoke to the fact that during some of those clutch moments, Ben had been sitting, you know, during the fourth quarter as well. ISO just brought it up a little while ago. You know, so that's, for me, another knock, man. If you're not in it when the game really matters, you know, you can't be on that, have that clutch gene. He does have a lot of growing and developing to do. The jump shot is going to help him tremendously, and I really hope that he's able to, you know, work on that, I would say, in the off season, but shit, he don't have too much more time left. But yeah, I'm running with Spider Mitchell on this one. Who you got, ISO?
It's easy, man. It's easy. You know, the dude when you're the leader of the team, when dudes depend on you to score, you're automatically thrust into that situation. Ben Simmons' game, a la LeBron, is that when you play an all around game, it's hard to develop a killer instinct. Like that's what made Magic magic, is that he had the all around game, but he was a straight stone cold killer when it came to the fourth quarter. Like, let me get that rock. If you know what I'm saying, if you up in the lane and if I have to make the pass, of course I can make the pass, but I'm going to take it. I'm going to take that. And, you know, and you trusted Magic. You trusted Magic not only to make the right play, but to make the right shot. And it took time for LeBron to develop that, and it's going to take time for Ben Simmons to develop that, because when you're so set on just getting everybody involved, it's hard to have that killer instinct. It's easier to be a killer and get everybody else involved than it is to get everybody else involved and be a killer. That's like very hard to do. So, yeah. The spider.
Yes, sir. That was a clean sweep once again. And let's jump into our last category on the chart. Right now, the score is 6 for Spider, 6-3. Okay? 6-3 for the Spider. So This might be elementary, but let's jump into our last category, which is game impact.
I'm standing here with two game changers, two people who have changed the culture.
He changed game like me. Oh yeah, he changed game like as a big man. I changed game as a guard.
Any takers for this one?
I got Donovan Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell has a higher game impact than Ben Simmons, because when you got that way, it's hard to quantify Ben Simmons' impact when you have the big fella behind him. It's not like that with Donovan. Donovan is the engine that drives the bus for Utah, and his game impact. You know, who had Utah making the playoffs? Who had Utah in the second round? Like, you know, there's no question about that. It's Donovan Mitchell for me.
Yeah,
I'm leaning.
I think Ben Simmons, even with Embiid on the court, even the cat got no jump shot. Man, he still impacts the game. His size, his ball handling, his vision. I mean, he's a special passer. I think he's a championship caliber type player, right? But he just has so much room to grow. Like, you know, 3 years down the road, if he puts in the work, you know, this might be totally flip-flop. And you'd just be like, damn, I can't believe, you know, we smashed Ben on the first chart we put him on. But right. Just speaking to where they are now, absolutely the game impact goes to Mitchell. Because Ben is having an impact, and we know there's so much flaws to his game. He can't shoot the free throws late. He's going to hesitate on an open jumper in the clutch, if he's even on the court in the clutch. And, you know, we know he has no J. But, he still can put pressure on the defense and impact the game. But head-to-head, Spider.
I totally agree with you, especially on the point that you brought up about that P word that I mentioned earlier, is potential, man. Potentially in the next 2 to 3, 3 to 5 years, I could definitely see Ben having this category. But right now, from what we've seen over the past season, where both of them have played equal, comparable amount of time, it definitely has to go to Donovan Mitchell. But Ben, with his size, his ability to pass and rebound, he can get it off the break, off the rebound, and then just be out, just a la Russ. Well, you know what Russ is doing, but he's 6'10", you know? So there is definitely the potential for him to take this in the future. But right now it's Donovan's category. And it seems like this is Donovan's chart as well. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7. That's 7-3. We have it on the chart, man.
I got it 8-2, just to put that out there.
So can you let this man know that we veto when we don't agree and there's no washes? I hear you 8-2, no doubt. It's even more of a landslide. And fellas, this is not even speaking to how Donovan Mitchell, like, really dominated some of them. Some of them were no question. They were laughable. Some, you know, hits the jumper.
The last five were 3-0s.
Yeah. But then shit, so was create your shot and, you know, like, and competition.
It sounds like ISO wanted to go back to analytics. ISO, you changing your vote, brother?
It's hard. You know what I'm saying? But it's hard. But to me, at the end of the day, what we all believed, what we all believed all along, and not only did the charts show it, but the playoffs showed it, Donovan Mitchell should have been the Rookie of the Year.
Yes, sir.
No doubt. No
yes,
doubt.
Yes, sir. We had shows around that. ISO, you weren't around, but truth, we were talking about that as well. The fact that Donovan definitely should have gotten that. I don't know if it was the political side. It might have been that win streak at the end of the year that changed people's opinions and thought that Ben Simmons was really the Rookie of the Year. On top of the red shirt, right? On top of that year that he mm-hmm. was able to acclimate and get himself ready for his second season.
Right.
You know, I really feel like Donovan Mitchell got jerked and got overlooked.
I love the fact that he was trolling them in the playoffs wearing
hoodie. Yes.
I love it.
He didn't even speak to that. Right.
He ain't run from it. He's like, you ain't
right.
no rookie.
Right. That's
and
right.
No, even the Boston fans was trolling Ben Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with Tatum. They was like, real rookie.
Exactly.
Right. Rookie.
Mm-hmm. Right. He's a rookie. Right.
But it's just, yeah, but it's real, man. It's real. And I think the NBA really needs to do something about that, because at the end of the day, if you don't play that season, and because it makes no sense that, oh, I get drafted 2018, but I'm the 2019 Rookie of the Year. Like, come on, B. Chill. Relax with all that. You know what I'm saying? You have to change up the rules. You have to change up the rules and not allow a person to redshirt. This isn't college, you know. You can't redshirt and be freshman of the year. Nah, we don't want that. We don't want that for the professional leagues, you know. And I really think that as long as Embiid is there, he's not going to be able to show his true potential.
Yeah.
I think Kobe was able to show his potential with Shaq.
But
you're going to have opportunities. Yeah. No, I mean, I could see. I could see Kobe at 22. I'm like, yo. This dude is the real deal.
No, but that's
even playing alongside Shaq in his prime. Huh?
Yeah, but the difference with Kobe Bryant as opposed to Ben Simmons is that Kobe Bryant and Shaquille O'Neal blended together. Their games blended. I can shoot outside all day, homie. I don't have to occupy your space. They occupying each other's space because Ben doesn't have the Jimmy to space the floor.
No,
but
Embiid
does.
Has the Jimmy.
Embiid does.
Exactly.
Right. He'll step out. He'll hit the three. He'll hit the mid-range. So he's able to create that space.
But they're not running. It's
right.
not like, like you said, it's not like they're saying, hey, you know what? We're running pick and roll action, Ben Simmons and Embiid. They're not doing that. Ben Simmons is just like, yo, just give me the rock, man. Let me just do me.
But this is where, like I'm saying, if you look at Magic's rookie year, there's a reason why Bird ran away with that thing on a landslide. Because Magic just played to Kareem his rookie season. But then Kareem gets hurt in game six of the finals. In game five of the finals. And Magic, on the big stage, you're going to have opportunities. Kareem's out, just like Shaq fouled out in game five on
right.
the road in, right?
Right,
first
right.
finals, and Kobe being easy. You know the jumpers in Reggie Miller's mouth, and Kobe was just like, I got this shit. Just watch me. You're going to have the opportunities that you can step up and you can show that you can coexist. And you for yourself can show that, look, I can be counted on. I'm just in this role because Embiid is who Embiid is, or Shaq who he is, or Kareem is who he is. But you're going to have to step on that stage. Ben Simmons is that talented that he's going to have opportunities. He had it last year. You know, he just failed miserably because he wouldn't step up and just, you're either going to miss it or you're going to make it. It's a make or miss league. You got to take it. Part of it is just learning to take it, right?
I think
he can coexist and still shine with Ben. I mean, with Embiid. And we know Embiid is the man. And make no mistake about it, Embiid is the man. Just like Kareem was the man, Magic is the man. I mean, Shaq and Kareem was the man. Kobe and Magic found the opportunities when and it found them. It's like, what you gonna do? What you gonna do? And they stepped up.
But
right?
Here's the thing.
And that's what we've got to see from Ben.
I think it, you know, Philly fans is out there who's listening. Don't kill me. But I think in the end,
oh, they on the line. You got callers on the line.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
563-999-3716. Press 1 to get in the queue. 563-999-3716. Hit him, Michael.
I think in the end, Ben Simmons is going to leave Philly because I don't, for some reason, I don't see, it doesn't feel like Philly embraces Ben the way they embrace Embiid.
They don't. Embiid is the heart and soul. He's fully acclimated into the city of Philly.
That's what I'm saying.
Embiid is the man there. That doesn't mean that they can't coexist. But working with, you know, with LeBron's management company and being the talent that you are, and also possibly with the potential of being, excuse me, as you mentioned early in the show, ISO, a young LeBron, there is going to be a chance for him to make more or get more exposure somewhere else. Right? Philly is definitely a historical franchise, one of the originals, but a bigger market and a bigger city, you know, I could see them wanting to make that move for him.
Because they're talking about MVPs, which is impossible.
Right.
Hey, why are we talking about the loser on the chart, though?
No doubt. I mean, we just wrapping it up. We tied it up. You know why? Because he got blown out. He got blown out. So I don't know whether it's saving face or still showing some appreciation. But we spent so much time speaking about Spider Mitchell's exploits. We didn't really get to talk too tough about Ben, man. God damn, only three categories. Jeez. We got about 20 minutes left, man. We got less than about 15 minutes left on the air. So if there are any other, we want to wrap this up right here, but then there's any other news or events or categories, things that you would like to speak about before we wrap it up. Let's put it out there.
I don't mean to get you tight, Truth. But I ain't gonna say your boy. One of your ex players is trying to make a comeback.
Thank you. We got like 10 minutes. Don't get him riled up too much, son. Your boy. You know those fighting words right there.
I ain't gonna say that because I know he gets tight when I say that. One of your ex players is out here trying to make a comeback.
Don't say his name, man.
Oh, I forgot. AB. AB.
Man, tell
Afro
Biden
Blow.
Put them knock me. Put them knock knees to rest, man. Put them on ice. It ain't going down.
Yeah, them checks and slowed up. That's what it is.
On top of that,
don't pay them, man.
That's ridiculous. Ridiculous. I don't even why you bring this dude up, man? Yo, what y'all think about before we bring this caller in? What y'all think about what's going on in Minnesota?
What's popping? Let me know.
They said that they're looking to possibly bring in Luol Deng. I believe he just signed his contract.
Yeah.
And they're talking about Joakim. I know that'll be happy for you as a Knicks fan.
Yeah, let me tell you something right now. It's a wrap. After this year, it's a wrap. I told you, Kobes, long time ago. Told you, and I told Steph. I was like, yo, Thibodeau is overrated.
Yeah.
Overrated. What's he trying to do? He's trying to bring in the Minnesota Timber Bulls. And it's, and it's like, yo, dude, it's a wrap. It's a wrap. What's the name he's signing? What's the name he's signing? You better keep – you better hope – you won't lose Towns. You about to lose Towns and Jimmy Butler. Them dudes, is, it's a wrap. It's a wrap.
So that's my move for him to get up.
So can we talk about the key thing in that whole scenario y'all talked about? What was the key thing there? Lou Alzang.
I know you can see it.
Off the Lakers book.
100%.
Okay.
100%.
Oh, baby.
It didn't matter where he went, as long as he was off the books.
Yo,
here's my thing. Off the books, they talking Chris Bosh coming to the Lakers?
Wow.
Yo, here's my thing. Here's my thing. Right now, and MVB, you mentioned it earlier. I think the one bad recipe that they are repeating again is that they have somebody in their sights that wants to come to L.A., and now they're lusting for somebody else.
Uh-oh.
Like, you had Paul George. Yeah, I think y'all had Paul George signed and sealed.
Yeah,
and then y'all lusting for Kawhi. And now...
You know what?
It seems like y'all have Kawhi, and now y'all lusting for Klay. I just don't get it.
Right, so on that note, I'm going to bring our caller in. Last four digits, 2127. 2127, you're on the air. Live with the iTest NBA show.
This is none other than the gorgeous Jerry Wonder.
The gorgeous one.
And I got a lot to say. I've been over here salivating, hearing this, hearing that. Mostly agreeing for the most part, but I got some stuff to say.
All ears,
brother. I'm gonna start with Rookie of the Year. There is it's simple mathematics. Anyone who's more comfortable in their environment will most likely do better. Ben Simmons has been traveling with this team, camaraderie, joking, pranks, all that with them for a year. For him to be even considered Rookie of the Year is a formality, and it probably shouldn't happen.
Okay.
100%.
Donovan Mitchell showed his clutch gene is just, I don't think you really can compare both of them, because all you got to do is just watch the last 60 seconds, 60 to 130 seconds of Boston playing Philly, and you see what Ben Simmons' clutch gene is.
Word. Word.
Okay. I definitely agree.
I'm gonna go out on the limb, and this might be dangerous, but I'm gonna go out on the limb, and I'm gonna say Ben Simmons. I mean, he's gonna have the triple doubles. He's gonna have the numbers. I think he's gonna be numbers good. I don't think that he gets better than what he is now. I just think that he gets triple doubles, and a lot of them. I think this is the ceiling for him. It's over, which is still good. It's not like, you know, he's an all-star at this. If you're getting triple-doubles like this, you're going to be an all-star, and you're popular, and you're dating a Kardashian. You're an all-star. But I don't think he gets better. I think that his jumper doesn't develop, and I think that Philly doesn't win because of him. That's my – it's dangerous, but that's what I think.
I feel you.
I hear that. Yeah, for real. There's a chance. That could be right, man. There's a chance. I would think that he would want to get in there and put some work in. Everyone knows. I mean, the dude has 0% on three-point shots. Like, son, we know you can't shoot. You need to be working on that, and I don't see it. You know what I'm saying? Like, when
believe
you going to take the time to freaking start working on this shit? Like, come on, fam. That you're on the limb, Jerry, but you got to make some room for me over there, bro.
And I'm going to double down. I'm going to double down on the comment. He doesn't stay in Philly. I think his confidence gets shot along with being with a Kardashian. You have to look at the history of this. I think his confidence gets shot, and Philly doesn't give him a chance because Philly's a, they ride or die, but you know after a while they really do let you go, and I think Philly turns against him, and they get a blockbuster trade. I double down on that comment. I don't know who made it, but I double down on that.
Yeah, I don't believe he's staying.
Yeah,
I don't believe he's staying. I think when it comes to it, at the end of the day, he's jealous of the love that Embiid gets, and he wants that love for himself. I agree.
Just,
I don't see it, for real.
Mm-hmm.
For real.
I think Mitchell turns out to be. I think Mitchell turns out to be, barring injury, I think he turns out to be a Hall of Famer, and I think Ben Simmons doesn't.
Mm. Last episode we talked about how easy it is to get into the hall. So, you know, if you're averaging a triple-double, if you're getting those numbers, you know, you're going to be Carmelo and Dwight Howard, Hall of Famers. T-Max, a Hall of Famer.
Oh, my God.
So if you're getting those numbers, you're going to end up there. So I can't go that far with you, but I feel you on Mitchell definitely – you know, making it and being a Hall of Famer.
Does,
if he continues,
does Mitchell stay in Utah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Mitchell's staying.
Yeah.
Mitchell's staying.
Yeah.
You think his career, he's there for another 10 years?
Yeah. Yeah. Because
I don't
stars,
know.
Stars are hard to come by in Utah. Stars are hard to come by in Utah. And You figure after these next, the least, I won't go say 10 years, but the least he's doing is 8. The least he's doing is 8. Because they hit.
How do you keep him after 3?
No, he's going to stay. He has 4 years, right? He has 4 years. His rookie contract brings him to 4 years before he can actually leave, right? But after. He's not walking away from that Supermax, baby.
Yeah, there's incentive to stay after your rookie contract. So he'll probably stay there for those first two contracts. Then there might be a chance for him to make a move after that. But like
right,
ISO said, man, that's like seven to eight years.
Yeah,
I don't think so. I think the Supermaxes now with endorsements, obviously they're never overrated. However, depending on the type of player you are, you can make that money up. So, you know, he goes to a big market. That $30 million he may be losing, he gets it on Adidas and Nike.
It's more than $30 million, bro. It's more than $30 million when you're considering you're playing for the team that drafted you. When you're playing for the team that drafted you, you're looking at like $50, $70 million, B.
No, I got to see that.
Yeah, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? You figure at the trajectory that Donovan Mitchell's going, you could see him making an all NBA team. Once he makes the all NBA team, no matter first, second, or third team, and become an all star, that's it, baby. I qualify for the Supermax. That's 200 and some change, B. That's 200 and some change. You ain't gonna walk away from that.
But it's Utah.
It is a chance. Yeah, there's a good chance.
But not after the first 8. He's going to be the first 8 because he's going to relish the fact of being the man and having a franchise. You know, you're young.
It's once
you realize that you can't win with these dudes is when you're going to be out.
Yeah,
on that note,
that's
fellas.
That's a tough one.
On that note, talking about being out, man, we got to wind the show down, guys.
Fellas,
definitely,
always a pleasure. Thank you.
Yo,
no
appreciate you tuning in and reaching out to get on the mic, Jerry Wonder.
All right, brother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. So this was another good one, fellas. We're on a roll, man. We had three great eye charts in a row. Looking to pull up the chart again next week. So all the good people out there, man, make sure that you're tuning in on Thursdays at 9 p.m. for Nick's Therapy. Check us out on 7sitemedia.com for all archive episodes. We got Instagram, Facebook as well. Big up to Doc and Nick's Therapy. We can't wait to hear what you and ISO got to say, man. And check us out next week, Monday, 9 p.m. at the same time for another banging eye chart.
No doubt, man. Can't wait. Make it happen.
Hey, yo, Kia, send Spider his rookie of the year.
For sure. We made it official
on
this show.
Put it in the mail. Put it in the mail.
Yeah, man.
Oh, man. Now, you know what it is. You know what it is. Kia, they had to give it. That's LeBron sponsored by that, so that's why they gave it to Ben.
Stop hating. Look at you. Stop hating.
Clutch.
Word, fellas. Once again, man, great one. We'll link it up again next week. All our supporters,
no,
man, we appreciate you. Know how we do it. Peace.
Peace.